Hello and welcome to the CBS Sports Fantasy Basketball Today podcast. I'm Chris Towers.
Sunday edition.
Here with Joe Polito. We're going to preview week three of the fantasy basketball season. We're going to do it relatively quickly, so no time for pleasantries, Joe. We got to get right to it.
Insert small talk here, and we're good to go.
Banter, repartee, done. Laughter.
Just imagine that we had a really funny conversation.
And now we're going to talk about basketball. The big news heading into week three, the biggest news I would say, is the Gordon Hayward return for the Jazz. You know, he played against the Knicks, so I'm not sure.
Had to deal with Melo, I would assume.
Yeah.
That's a handful.
That was actually, I watched a little bit of this game in between. They had a battle. Melo played really well. Gordon Hayward scored 28 points in his return, which is a very nice thing to see. He shot the ball well. Jazz got off to a bit of a rough start in this one, but they bounced back for the win, and Melo looked really good, and I think just as importantly, Rodney Hood and George Hill didn't really take that big of a back seat. Now, that would be your concern with Hayward coming back, but Hill went 8 for 12 for 23 points, had 9 assists. Rodney Hood had 18 points on 7 of 13 with 4 assists. So, you know, the addition of Gordon Hayward, hopefully, can maybe allow this Jazz team to keep rolling. Maybe the bench guys, this is a deep team, but maybe the bench guys, you know, your Joe Johnsons, your Dante Exums, your Shelvin Max, maybe take on a bit of a less role.
And then maybe it lets Hayward be more of a Paul George type of player and less of a, you know, all-around Nick Batum type of player that he has been.
Did not have a single assist in this game. That would not be a good sign. But, you know, they're going to split playmaking between the three of those guys, I think. So you'll probably see all of them settle in between, like, 3 on Rodney Hood's side up to, like, 6 or 7 for Hill with Hayward somewhere in between would be my expectation. We also will be getting Chandler Parsons back on Tuesday.
Interesting.
There was some talk about him coming back this weekend. It's pushed back to Tuesday for the Grizzlies. That probably pushes James Ennis out of fantasy relevance. You can go ahead and drop him. He was playing okay in Parsons' absence. I would expect Chandler Parsons to play to need some time to get going. That was what we saw last year with Dallas. He had a really rough start the first month or two. I wouldn't necessarily be starting Chandler Parsons right away, but I think before long, you look at the kind of upside that this guy's got, the role that he's going to have in Memphis. As
the team looks not great, so they could use some
definitely use some
skill.
His 3-point shooting, his ability to be that secondary playmaker that they really haven't had since Rudy Gay left, I guess.
Yeah.
So he's going to play a big role. I'm not sure if I'm starting him in week 3, but he should be someone who's a fixture in your lineup before long.
Well, they only have 2 games, right?
Yes, they only play 2 games this week
as
well.
That's
crucial. The Pelicans hope to have Drew Holiday back by mid-November. That'd be really nice. He posted a video of himself working out recently. I believe Zach Lowe of ESPN.com reported that. So that would be really nice for those of you who drafted Drew Holiday. It looks like you're going to get a really nice return on that investment because this got someone who wasn't being drafted really in the top, I don't know, 80, 90?
It was probably just the uncertainty and the depth of his position. But, I mean, if you did stash him, this is the best possible news probably because he hasn't missed barely any time.
Yeah, if he comes back after missing 4 or 5 weeks, that's going to be a big win. It also, you know, thankfully means that his wife is doing well.
Right.
So that's good news. Jay Crowder out at least 2 weeks following a bad ankle sprain that moved Jaylen Brown into the starting lineup. He actually went off against
Cavaliers.
Good friend and mentor, LeBron James, apparently.
Yeah.
They apparently have a pretty good relationship. He had 18 points in his first start, I believe. 19 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 block, 3 steals. Really filled up the box score. He is a
high motor.
He's shooting better than I think people expected as well. 44% from 3. I don't know how much of that is sustainable because watching him, the jumper does look a little janky, I think is a thing that people say about jumpers.
And other things.
Sure. And Jeremy Lin out at least 2 weeks with a hamstring injury of his own. We've seen Sean Kilpatrick, Isaiah Whitehead, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, I think has 6 assists in each of his last 2 games. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity on this Nets team, even more so than we thought, at least for the next couple of weeks. So let's look at the waiver wire. And these are the guys that I think you need to go add heading into week 3 and beyond. And as you mentioned, Jaylen Brown, 47% owned. I think he's one of the top guys. I think we talked about him each of the first 2 weeks when we've talked about the waiver wire, but Terrence Jones.
Oh, yeah.
60%.
He's going to be a mainstay, I think.
It's just going to be, at some point, he's either going to have to finally do something, and he did in the most recent game, but the inconsistency is still there. He had a DNP 3 days ago, or 3 games ago. Just had a DNP coach's decision.
The Pelicans are a fluid situation, man.
Yeah, Alvin Gentry admitted after the most recent game when Terrence Jones played 28 minutes. He's played 28 minutes in the last 2 games after getting the DNP coach's decision. Had 19 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 blocks, a steal, a 3-pointer. And Alvin Gentry admitted, like, I'm going to need to have some, you know, kind of self-reflection about the way I've been using him.
Yeah, and I think fantasy owners stash him because that's the thing. Is if he gets over 25 minutes, he's capable of all kinds of stats. Like,
filling up the
box. That's a line that, you know, I can't think of like 5 other players that can really do that, and it's for a bad team. So
this team does not have much talent.
There's opportunity.
They're definitely devoid of talent. It's actually, they've been moving Anthony Davis to the 5. They're kind of just done with the Omer Asik, Alexei Ajinsa thing, which
I hope so.
Money well spent. Pelicans. I believe they dropped $85 million on those two guys. Who could have seen that going wrong?
Yeah, you look at Anthony Davis. He's a center. He's a center in today's league. Let's just move forward like that, Alvin.
And so Terrence Jones, if he gets 28 minutes per game, I think he's going to end up being a must-start fantasy player, even with the inconsistency. You look at the 2 games that he's played. You look at 26 points, 16 rebounds, 8 assists, 6 blocks, and a steal across the 2 games, a 3-pointer in each. That's the kind of stuff he can give you. I don't think he's going to score 20 points per game, but he could get close to 15 with decent numbers across the board.
He's got that Kentucky chemistry,
That's true.
Anthony Davis.
Do they have any other Kentucky guys?
I don't know, but they got those two.
Don't know where Tim Frazier went to college.
No.
Those Nets guys, Isaiah Whitehead, starting at point guard. I don't know how much you're expecting from him. Maybe 3 or 4 assists. Sean Kilpatrick has looked pretty good. He looks like a real find for this Nets team. Doesn't do much beyond scoring.
Right.
But he does have a couple. The last 2 games he's got 3 and 4 assists.
He can handle.
He scored 43 points in those 2 games. He's averaging 17 points per game right now. I believe if he's not their leading scorer, he's right behind Brooke Lopez on the season. He's playing really well.
Someone will end up with assists, and because he has the ball in his hands a lot while he's playing, he'll end up with Lynn out. He'll get some on accident because no one else on that team, I don't think is really passing with any proficiency.
So I think Sean Kilpatrick, definitely someone you need to go out and add. And Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, he's someone that I've compared a bit to like a poor man's Gerald Wallace. Not a great offensive player, but like a nice, well-rounded skill set, a really good rebounder on the wing. Got off to an absolutely miserable start to the season. I think he scored, I want to say he scored 9 points in the first 5 games or something like that. He's been really bad scoring, 28.6% from the field. But over the last 2 games, 6 assists in each game, no turnovers. 6 steals across those games. This is what he can give you.
And if you drop him, he will be picked up pretty quickly.
He's
a kind of high upside type of dude.
And I've had a lot of people asking me, should I drop him? And he's one of those guys. I wrote about this in my Week 3 preview, that the guys you want to drop are the guys whose minutes aren't there. I'm struggling to like Nikola Jokic, you're not dropping him, but you're worried about him because the minutes aren't there. Whereas someone like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, he's playing 26 minutes per game. He's getting ball handling opportunities. He's playing good defense, and it's just the shot's not falling. You have to expect that to turn around at some point. He's not going to shoot 28.6% forever.
And he wasn't, known to be a shooter. You got him because he's going to do a lot of other things, like rebound at that position and get a couple blocks maybe, but
yeah, he's someone I could see averaging like 4 assists, 2 steals per game, 6 rebounds maybe moving forward. So has a lot of fantasy potential.
It's hard to drop anyone on the Nets if you have them because anything can happen there. And someone can break out and be...
They're kind of the Philadelphia 76ers of the last few years now. I would also go out and add Tyler Johnson, playing really well for the Heat, averaging 15 points per game. 3 or 4 assists per game, something like that?
Yeah, he looks like their most trustworthy complete player, which is saying something about their roster. But
I do wonder, there's been a lot of excitement in Heat Nation about Dion Waiters. The yeah. When you watch the games, the announcers are fired up about the Dion Waiters experience.
I mean, the usually very unbiased and critical Heat announcers are... yeah, they're. I think it's just because you look at him, he's got the ball, he's, you know, got a lot of talent. Obviously, we've always known that. And he's sort of buying in. Like, I've watched him. He's not doing many
trying to pass
Dion-esque things. Yeah. And the Heat offense is really bad sometimes to the point where they just, okay, Dion, go. Yeah. We need something. And
I do wonder if he's their third best shooting guard now that Josh Richardson's back.
Yeah.
His minutes got cut into a little bit by Richardson's return. Richardson returned on Friday against Toronto, was scoreless in 12 minutes, but Waiters only played 22 minutes in that game. I wouldn't be totally stunned if he ended up third among those three.
They have high hopes for Richardson,
yeah.
But I think they'll kind of introduce him pretty slowly, so Waiters will still have his games if you're trying to stream someone and that kind of thing. But it's really, yeah, Tyler Johnson, they paid him. I think they trust him.
A lot of money. So $50 million.
And he's like relentless on both ends of the floor, so he's not going to be coming out of the game a whole lot.
Ersan Ilyasova, that trade to the 76ers, they are playing him. He's played 23 and 28 minutes in his first two games. 35 points combined between the two games, including 6 three-pointers. Now, anybody who's ever played fantasy basketball knows that you cannot exactly take what Ersan Ilyasova has done recently and project forward. He's an inconsistent player. His effort is inconsistent. It's really easy to talk yourself into Ersan Ilyasova, though. And right now, he's 45% owned. I think he's someone that...
It's kind of like the Terrence Jones thing. Like, he can sort of scrap together this line that you're like, whoa, I didn't even know a player could do that.
Yeah, I mean, you'll get rebounding, you'll get three-pointers, you'll get scoring from him. He fits on...
He loves to shoot threes.
As soon as
he gets it, he shoots it.
And he's the stretch four for them, so that's a good opportunity for him. Another guy, CJ Miles, much lower owned, 17%, and he's been really overlooked. But playing really well. The minutes are not there, 20 minutes per game, but he's averaging 14.5 points per game. He's another guy that
loves to shoot.
CJ Miles is going to get up there and chuck. And 15.8 points per game over his last five. He's made 2 3-pointers in each of his last three. So if you need a three-point shooting specialist, CJ Miles can be your guy. And Mike Muscala, the last guy on my waiver wire list that I think you need to go out and at least look at. He's not center eligible in CBSSports.com leagues. He probably won't be this season unless Dwight Howard misses some time, but he is the primary backup big man for them, with Mike Scott undergoing knee surgery, out 3 to 4 weeks, and Tiago Splitter still out.
Handcuffish for Dwight, too, who
has
been prone to miss time.
Definitely. Dwight Howard, over the last few years, has missed time with knee, shoulder, and back issues. Those are not, you know, especially knee and back issues.
He's playing
not,
well, so you know. He's trying, definitely.
And Mike Muscala averaging 9.2 points, 4.5 rebounds over 20.8 minutes per game. If he gets up to the 25 to 28 minute range, if someone gets hurt, he's got a lot of opportunity to put up some decent numbers. 14% owned in CBSSports.com leagues. Someone that you can go out and add. Let's take a look at the roster trends real quick before I move on to actually...
Some interesting most dropped guys I'm looking at right here.
Yeah, the most added first. There's been a lot of movement over the last week. The first week, there wasn't quite that much. There were only 5 players added or dropped in 10% or more leagues, but looks like about 14 since then. The most added player, Sean Kilpatrick, up 42%, like we talked about. J.J. Barea up 29%. I think that he's playing decent minutes. Darren Williams dealing with a groin injury that is, I think, going to keep him out on Sunday, could keep him out moving forward as well. He played 37 minutes on Friday. That's probably never a good decision with Darren Williams, but Dallas is playing without Dirk Nowitzki, who's likely out at least a week, maybe longer, with an Achilles injury, so they need someone to score. J.J. Barea can score.
Yeah, he can pick up the assist, too, just because he's tiny and dribbles a lot. So
T.J. Warren up to 94%. He's really good. Looking like the primary scorer for this Suns team, which was not exactly what we expected, but playing really well.
Playing a ton of minutes, too.
James Ennis, 36%. That's going to go way down with Chandler Parsons back. Sergio Rodriguez, 73%. That's more like it.
Yeah.
That's where Sergio Rodriguez needs to be owned. Trevor Booker, 71%. That's too much. You're probably going to be dropping Trevor Booker moving forward. You know, we've talked about the Nets and how if you're a warm-blooded creature who's on their roster, you're going to have an opportunity to put up fantasy
if
numbers.
If you're breathing, you're checking into the game.
But, you know, 8 points per game.
Yeah, Booker doesn't do stats. Yeah, he does toughness. And
he doesn't excite me. Jaylen Brown up 17%. Tyson Chandler, if you need rebounds, he's 60% owned. He's going to give you rebounds and nothing else. But he has 18 rebounds in 3 of the first 6 games, double digits in 5 of the first 6. So he'll get you that. And Lou Williams and Patty Mills. Patty Mills has an opportunity over the next few weeks, or the next few games at least. Tony Parker out at least a week with a knee injury. Patty Mills definitely going to get you 3-pointers. Definitely going to get you points. Yeah. And maybe some assists.
Really, really tough for him to break that 5-assist barrier that he's at right now. Cause
yeah, he probably won't.
He's another guy who loves to shoot.
Moving to the most dropped, and there are some interesting names on here. Jamal Murray, the most dropped player.
Yeah.
He's trending upward a little bit.
I think he's still getting minutes, right?
Definitely. And with Will Barton, I believe, dealing with a very serious ankle injury. It's not a high ankle sprain, but it's definitely something that's going to keep him out for a little while. Gary Harris did come back, but Jamal Murray's played 27 and 29 minutes over the last 2 games. He was 0 for 16, I believe, to start his NBA career, yeah, which isn't great, but went 4 for 10 in the last game. He'll get you some assists. I think he'll probably be a pretty good 3-point shooter. I think that's the one skill that everybody expects to translate. So I'm not necessarily jumping ship on him yet.
Well, in the 42%. Are you picking him up? I mean, people are dropping him.
Yeah, you know, there's guys like Sean Kilpatrick or Patty Mills that
if you had like Barton or somebody, drop him to get Murray?
Maybe, yeah. But again, if I had the opportunity to take Kilpatrick or Hollis Jefferson, I'd still rather have them. Tony Parker, down 15%. I'm not saying that's the wrong move.
Yeah, no, I think
Tony Parker, fantasy relevant player. He's a bench guy in fantasy. And right, if he's hurt for, you know, if he's going to miss 4 games, it's hard to stash him on your roster. There's just not much upside there.
If every game was a playoff game, Tony Parker would be much more valuable.
Or FIBA.
Regular. Yeah, he's good at that.
Al Jefferson down 14%. He's not looked good in his bench role with the Pacers.
I know he does the score, quite frankly. I mean, he'll get you a block or two, I think, but
yeah, he's averaging 4.7 points per game. Now, he's only shooting 32.4%, so, you know, like I said, I expect guys who shoot that poorly to turn it around, but he's playing 15 minutes a game. I just don't think there's any upside in Al Jefferson as long as Miles Turner's healthy. Robert Covington, are you giving up on Robert Covington?
No. Sixers aren't good enough for me to give up on him. It's like if they had something to move on to that was like, all right, yeah, we're winning games with Saric or this guy, I would. But
yeah, I don't think they view Saric or Ilyasova as an option at the three.
I feel like
either.
when Covington is bad shooting, which has been pretty much every game,
yeah,
he kind of finds ways to do other things. Like he'll get his rebounds up or get some steals. He's pretty good at steals.
Well, two
rangy dude.
Two or more steals in each of the last 5 games. He had 2 blocks in his most recent game. He's averaging 2.6 steals, 1.0 blocks, still averaging a 3-pointer per game.
So you got to figure minutes are there,
yeah,
peripheral stats are there, you know, and he's not a bad scorer. He's a bad shooter, so maybe he needs to change his shot selection a little bit. But
he's exactly the kind of guy that I look at and say, just because he's playing poorly now doesn't mean he's going to play poorly. He's not going to shoot 17%.
No, and they're not benching him.
Yeah. So he's definitely someone I'm hanging on to. As for the rest on this list, the most dropped, Mirza Teletovic playing mostly minutes in the teens. Willie Cauley-Stein, same thing. Timofey Mozgov, not really excited about any of those guys. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, actually, down 10%. I think that'll definitely turn around over the next week or so. All right, let's move on to the Week 3 preview. We'll round up the rest of the injuries, news, and notes first. Reggie Jackson will begin basketball activities this week. Should be back on a basketball floor if everything goes right within 2 to 3 weeks. That's really good news. Ish Smith has been fine, but the Pistons desperately need Reggie Jackson. Roy Hibbert already ruled out for Monday. If you were adding him early on after the first game,
they got some front court issues.
Yeah, this knee injury is certainly slowing him down. I don't know when he's going to get back on the floor, so feel free to drop Roy Hibbert. Will Barton, as we mentioned, missed last three games with an ankle injury. Gary Harris returned on Saturday, played, I think, 12 minutes, had 3 points, three rebounds. I think he'll get better. If Gary Harris is available in your category-based league, he's someone to go out and get. Rockets are negotiating with Donatas Motiejunas. I think the last offer that I saw was 1 year, $7 million. That doesn't sound like someone that they're desperate to get back. 76ers are looking to move Nerlens Noel. The Raptors were reportedly one
interesting
option. I think they were offering a first-rounder and Norman Powell or something.
That could be a pretty good situation for Nerlens.
Yeah, that would definitely free him to do all the defensive stuff and just clean up the glass for Jonas Valanciunas. Chris Dunn has started three games with Ricky Rubio out with an elbow injury, averaging 6.7 points, 4.7 rebounds, 6 assists with 3 steals per game. That's about what I expected from Chris Dunn
as a almost starter. Ricky Rubio-esque, except for the not quite there in the assist column.
Yeah.
But otherwise, not scoring that much, getting steals.
He's rough. He's raw. Not really a starting caliber fantasy option, I think. And that's it for the injuries news and notes. Let's move on to the schedule analysis. No five-game weeks this week. We had the Kings last week. This is kind of a more typical week in terms of the schedule. The schedule is not going to make your decisions for you this
week. No, there'll be a handful of teams that you maybe avoid because they have two starts. But
yeah, Dallas, Memphis, and Milwaukee. From those teams, I don't know if I'm starting anybody from Dallas with two
games. That's what I was going to ask you. Like Harrison Barnes, I mean, if you're picking up a small forward from one of those four start teams off the waiver wire, like I think you got to roll them out.
Yeah, like I would rather start Marvin Williams with four games than Harrison Barnes with two. Memphis, Conley and Gasol, maybe.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty fringy with two starts. And Milwaukee, you're obviously starting Giannis. I think that's the only person, though. You can go ahead and sit Jabari. He doesn't do enough. Greg Monroe, same thing. Dellavedova. These are all. So those are your easy options. Those three teams you can pretty much sit because everyone else plays three or four games, and most of the teams in the NBA play four games this week. And the best schedule is Golden State.
Good for them.
Don't be worried about anything with Golden State. Like they're Klay Thompson can't shoot right now. He has made 19.6% of his three-pointers in the first six games.
How many times do we have to see a group of incredibly talented players get together?
It doesn't always work. Right?
I think it's more just that we are laughing
at them.
Oh, it's
fun. Yeah, it's hilarious.
I don't think it's like we think they're doomed. It's just like, huh.
But I have seen.
Now it's your turn.
I have seen some, like,
human.
Do the Warriors need to sit to put Klay Thompson and bring him off the bench if he doesn't? And it's like, no, he's just had a bad shooting stretch.
The future of the team is, you know.
Yeah, he's shooting 19.6% on threes over the first six games. His worst stretch last season over a six-game stretch was, I believe, 28.4%. So this is a very, very deep slump for Klay Thompson, but my expectation is that's all that is. And they get to play New Orleans, Dallas, at Denver, which could be a tough one on the second night of a back-to-back, and then Phoenix. That's four of the worst defenses in the NBA.
Agreed.
So don't sit your Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
As long as you have Clay, Curry, Dre, or KD, just start them in all circumstances.
You starting McGee?
I would love to.
Yeah.
I'd love to start.
I really dream of a world where he's fantasy relevant.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I don't think so.
And New Orleans has a really good schedule. They are on the road for three of the four games at Golden State, at Sacramento, at Milwaukee, and against the Lakers at home. Three of those games should be extremely high-paced and high-scoring. They're going to have a lot of opportunities. I think it's a good opportunity if you add Terrence Jones to get him active. I think Tim Frazier, for the next 2 weeks, is going to remain a starting-caliber player. You might want to look at trading Tim Frazier, though, if you get an opportunity. With Jrue Holiday coming back, he's putting up great numbers.
Your best case is he gets, like, 17 assists in his next game, and you just get anything you can for him, because his minutes are going down.
And the worst, obviously, Dallas, Milwaukee, Memphis. Dallas is at the Lakers, at Golden State. I believe those are both back. That's a back-to-back set, too. Mm-hmm. That's the worst-case scenario. You play two games, and it's a back-to-back. So who knows if, you know, Darren Williams or Andrew Bogut or any of those guys are going to play. It's best to avoid Dallas entirely, I think. Milwaukee, New Orleans, Memphis. Memphis, Denver, and Milwaukee. like we said earlier, you're probably sitting most of your players on those teams with the possible exception of Giannis. That's probably the only guy that you're starting among those three teams. Joe.
Yo.
You ready for week three?
I think so. I'm about 500 in my league so far.
I need to... It's so tough, you know, because we're in some crazy leagues. We're in the 30-team league
We need to start doing dispatches from the 30 deep, just so you
Maybe we should, yeah, just so you can feel better about...
We'll play some sad music and be like, I looked at, you know, this guy who's not even on a team yet.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, I've had to start Ben McLemore. I've had to start Chandler Parsons in the first 2 weeks of the season.
And he's not even playing.
Things are not going well. I've got DeJounte Murray, Jordan Hill, and Jared Bayless on my
Bellinelli bench. Is like my X factor. If he gets if he plays more than 12 minutes and scores 8 points, it's like swings the entire matchup.
Mason Plumlee is my starting center. Or Miles Plumlee, excuse me. The worst Plumlee. Or I guess the second best Plumlee.
I'm starting Matt Plumlee. He don't even exist yet.
Glass half full, the second best Plumlee. So that league's rough. Be glad that you're not in the 30-team league. And thanks so much for listening. We'll be back with two episodes this week. And Joe, good luck.
Go get them in week three.
See ya.